church, we greet you this morning with peace. May the shalom of God rest upon you this morning. He is present. Thank you, worship team. That was a wonderful time of worship this morning, and the Prince of Peace is with us. So it's good to be in this place this morning. And thank you for the opportunity. Thank you, Pastor Ralph and Sue, for the opportunity to come and share once again. This church is dear to our hearts. A partner of 15 years already, actually more than 15 years, 15 years that we're in Brazil, plus the last two that we have been in between. But we are so excited to be here this morning. Lisa, my wife, the best part of this partnership is here too. And I have a team this morning also. I have Steve and I have Pete there. And if there's anything that goes wrong, it's my fault. So I'm so glad to be here. And I have that presentation there, Steve, that shows the picture of our family. And I invite Lisa to come just to say a time to say thank you, especially for prayers for our family. And so I will let Lisa do that.
Good morning, church. May the shalom of God be with you. Nelson already said what I had planned on saying. I'm so blessed by the worship this morning, and Jesus is indeed worthy of all honor and praise. And that's really a theme for us with our family as well, as we have traveled and ministered in Brazil and taken our kids to places that really were amazing experiences for them. We just give all honor and glory and praise to Jesus for keeping our family under his care, being faithful. God is faithful even when we can't see that sometimes. He remains faithful, and he has been that way with our children. So I just wanted to give you a very quick update on our kids. We have three. Our daughter Gabriella is 23, and she has been in the country of Hungary for the last, she's going on her third year there. She's studying in Budapest, and that has been a great experience for her. This year she's been very involved in the Danube International Church, and heading up the international students group there. They have a large group, and we had the privilege of visiting her last fall. We were heading to Spain for the filming of a course that we are involved in, and we took a detour to Budapest. It was our first chance, and we had a chance to speak at this international students group. It was a real blessing. It was really wonderful to engage with 30 or so international students in the city of Budapest. So that's what Gabi is doing. She's studying architecture. And then we have Luke, our middle son, who's 21, and he's been in Victoria since he was since he was 17. He came back before we arrived here to start studying at the University of Victoria, and he's in his, we think he's somewhere between third and fourth year. We are not sure, but we do know that he's all of a sudden very engaged in his area. He's studying civil engineering, and he had a co-op, and that just seemed to turn the light on for him. So we praise God. Thank you for your prayers for our kids. Many of you have prayed for our children, and Luke has been on our heart for a number of years for extra prayer, and really God is faithful, so thank you. He is doing well. And Danny is our youngest. He just turned 14, and we have homeschooled him the last couple of years. There is hope for people over 50 to work with youth. I was so encouraged by Chris's message this morning that there are those of you who are engaged with youth, even though you don't have the energy to run around. That would be me. God calls us as a big family of Christ. And I really believe that is so important, to engage with the young people, to encourage them, to host them, etc. So blessings on those people who've offered their homes and their cooking for the youth. Danny is, as I said, 14, homeschooled, was encouraged by the young fellow playing music up here, because Danny's very involved with worship and music. He loves that. And so God has been faithful in every season. Thank you for being our family. I always tell our kids, we may be far from family, but we have a big family in Christ. And so we are very grateful to Highway Church for being our family, family in Christ. Thank you. God bless you.
Thanks, Lisa. Yeah, and I voiced that too, and I thank you for your prayers. These last 2 years we have been between Brazil and Canada, but before that, for 14 years, we were in Brazil. And if you know a little bit about Brazil, there is a war going on in Brazil every day. Crime and violence are rampant. Like the statistic from last year talk about almost 60,000 homicides in 1 year. So there's always something going on. You walk around and there's people are always there. Antennas are always up. But I always say, for us, our experience going to Brazil and spend those 14 years there in the city of Recife for 7 years and then João Pessoa, the other city, for another seven, nothing happened to us. And I can only credit that to the prayers of the saints. It's only, so every time I go out and preach, I say, thank you for your prayers. Your prayers are so important. We cannot go beyond what the prayers of the saints send us. I really believe that. So I really believe in prayer, and I thank you for that. It really comes from our heart when we say thank you for your prayers. And this morning, I want to do a little bit of update and report with a sermon together. So let's work together here. I hope you will hear what God has to say to you this morning. And I want to start with a thank you using the image of this phrase, the forest in the seed. The forest in the seed. And the reason I'm saying that is because a whole forest has grown out of the seeds that your partnership have helped us plant in Brazil. And now as we are moving between Brazil and Canada, that process keeps going. So you have prayed for us, you have supported us financially. Like I said before, this is a partnership of since 2004 that church has been a partner with us. And we are so thankful to God for having raised partners like Highway Church to come alongside, because of course we wouldn't be able to go if we didn't have these partners that God sent to come alongside with us. So thank you. God has taken your part. God has taken what you have done, all that you have invested, and God has put it together with other partners that we have in BC, in Ontario, other parts of Canada, to bless the nation of Brazil, and from there, from Brazil, other nations. We were involved in the first 7 years with missionary training when we moved in 2004 back to Brazil. And the first mission was missionary training. Brazil sending many missionaries, and we involved with missionary trainings. And so what you did not only came to bless the nation of Brazil. There's so many missionaries that we're able to train that who are all over the globe, really. A place that you cannot even imagine. So that's what you did. That's what with us. Seeds. And there is a forest in the seed that you have helped us plant. So thank you very much. And another image that I want to another agriculture image that I want to use to tell us a little bit about what we have been doing to update you, because some of you, I have many familiar faces here this morning. I have people that I have seen before and we have talked even this morning as we came. But I also see new faces or people who forgot a little bit of what we do. And that's not easy to, not, that's not difficult to do, because there's so many aspects of what God has called us to do. But anyway, so it's this image of the roots produce the fruits. The roots produce the fruits. And what I want to say with that to explain what our ministry has been, is that as we move to Brazil and as we start to minister in Brazil and as we start to train missionaries to go out of Brazil to other lands, very soon it became clear to us that God was calling us to engage with brokenness. As I just described to Brazil, one aspect of brokenness in Brazil, the whole aspect of crime and violence, and not only in Brazil as these missionaries were going to other nations, Africa, Asia, mainly South America too. It was very clear that God was calling us to engage with brokenness in every culture. Even coming back to Canada, as we came in our furloughs, every culture has an aspect of brokenness that we need to engage with. We see the fruits of the fall. When you talk about our biblical worldview, our Christian theology, we see the fruits of the fall. And so we start to deal with the fruits of the fall in Brazil as God moved our ministry to the city of João Pessoa, and we got involved with partnering with a local church there. We start to deal with the fruits of the fall in the area of poverty. By reaching out to children and families in this small community of about 4,000 people on the outskirts of João Pessoa called Vila Feliz. So we start to work with that. We start to plant seeds of the kingdom in that community. We start to projects with kids. We start to equip, especially young people, millennials, to bring the seeds of the kingdom, signs of the kingdom to this community. We start to teach that God's kingdom and God's nature from God emanates. Everything that comes from him is truth and it's goodness and beauty. And God was calling us to reach out to individuals and to reach out to community with his goodness and truth and beauty. So we start projects with kids, soccer, ballet, after school, hip hop, a number of projects with kids and their families. And then we start to see God coming and we start to see transformation happening because God is in the business of transformation. God just doesn't just come and he does a renovation in our lives, right? God comes and he actually is in the business of transformation. And we start to see these kids and families experience transformation as individuals and also becoming agents of transformation to their community. Because that's one of the questions in Brazil. The church is exploding. The growth of the church is very clear. And the question starts to come when we start to look at all the social indicators, violence, corruption, crime. The question is, can the gospel that changes me as an individual and transforms me, can this same gospel transform my community and my nation? Can the gospel do something about my nation and what's going on around me? So we start to see this transformation of the kids, the families, the community. And really we start to see that the best resource that God has in every community and the poor communities that we start to work with in Brazil are the people that he created in his image, who hear the gospel, are transformed by the power of the gospel, and become co-agents with God for transformation in their community. That's the best resource. The first idea may be to inject material resources and finances, and definitely that's necessary. But we start to learn that the best resource that God has for his kingdom to advance are people. People transformed by the power of the gospel. And we start to see that happen in that community. And people start to be discipled and to start to understand that salvation is comprehensive. Salvation is broad. This whole theme of salvation that the Bible brings to us from Genesis to Revelation is much broader than just coming and reaching an individual and transforming him and preparing him to heaven. Actually, salvation starts to flow from the life of that individual and of the church together, actually, as individuals gather as the church. That salvation starts to flow in Jesus and the Holy Spirit start to flow and reach out to brokenness around. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ and what Jesus did on the cross reverses what the fall did, and everything that's brokenness is suddenly now exposed, and the power of the cross and the blood of Jesus comes and starts to transform everything. So brokenness in individuals and brokenness in community and nations, for the gospel, there is no barrier for the gospel to come and transform. And so we start to see that transformation. We start to see that God's truth, God's word is still truth that transforms. After all these years that the word of God has been preached and taught, and even facing all the battles against the word of God and unfaithfulness and unbelief, God's word remains the same. What God said he would do by his word, those principles are still active in the 21st century. And we need to hear that because we're so bombarded with the idea that this is not relevant anymore. We're still bombarded with the idea that the realm of the spiritual and the religious belongs within the church in one particular day of the week, and the church has nothing to say to society from Monday to Friday. We are bombarded with this lie of the enemy, and many of us often have believed that lie, and that caused us to stay inside and think that our role is just to watch what is happening outside, and we can do nothing about that. That's not true. That's a lie of the enemy. And globally, as we move to Brazil, as we come back to Canada and back and forth, and as we I'm part of an organization called the Disciple Nations Alliance, which is a global organization, part of the leadership team, and we move globally. God is doing something. There's something that God is doing. Things are becoming so insane these days that evil thinks that things, even is so hungry these days, that suddenly it is creating an opportunity for truth to be an alternative again. And especially millennials and next generation people, we see God moving and bring them back to truth because things are becoming so insane these days. There is no roots, there is no foundation, that suddenly when evil thought that he was going to destroy the foundations, things have become so insane that we see truth becoming an alternative again. And so we have this power, the power of the truth of God that transforms. And actually, I want to show a video, if we can, Steve, of that community in Vila Feliz, the kids. That was Christmas. They didn't send me a video from this last Christmas yet, but I picked up a video, 1 minute video from last Christmas, and it shows you a little bit of the transformation of the people that God is reaching out in this community, and the transformation that's happening, the gym that is being built with resources majorly from Canada. So I want to show you a little bit of that. So that's the community of Vila Feliz. After 5 years of work in that community, a church was planted in 2016. The growth of that church has been steady and sustainable. And it has been a great testimony. And from that local work with Vila Feliz, God broadened and expanded our ministry in Brazil with community transformation to other states. That now we are in partnership with the Center for Assistance and Holistic Development. We are in 8 different states in Brazil, 10 different communities. The same thing, partnering with one church, seeing that church become an agent of transformation in that community. Not only for individuals to be transformed, but individuals to be equipped with God's truth and a biblical worldview at the foundation of their lives that causes them to believe God's truth and understand that their transformation now they have accountability to be agents of transformation in the community. Not only to bring other individuals to Christ, which they are doing, but also to see their communities, poverty and crime and violence, all these things that are brokenness in the community, to engage with brokenness and to see the gospel of Jesus, the truth of God, transforming those aspects of community and society also. So we're very excited with that. That's one phase of our ministry in Brazil, is community transformation. The other phase of our ministry in Brazil, from the beginning, as we saw, and as I said before, this image of the roots produce the fruits. As we start to engage with brokenness in that community, from the beginning, God made very clear to us that we would need to deal with a deeper level of of things that's not only at the level of the fruits. We need to go deeper with questions of why. Why in this community there's such a problem, brokenness, with violence rampant and prostitution, drugs. The average age for a boy to die in that community, when we first moved there, the locals would say they were 17 years old. So the question of why is this? God did not design us and these kids in this community to experience that. That's not what God designed for them. That's not what God created them for. And so we start to go deep to the questions of why. What are the root causes? And before I go there, thank you, Steve. This is some of the pictures of the two faces of our ministry in Brazil. But then we start to look, and actually you can move to the next to the graphic sermon, Steve, because I'm going to use one from there soon. Please. And so we start to look, ask this question: what are the root causes? And we actually emphasize and start to emphasize that in a very inconsequential society that we live in these days, especially among millennials and the younger generation, where thinking and doing seem to be disconnected. What you believe and what you do can be two different things in this postmodern society. The teaching that the roots produce the fruits, or in other words, ideas have consequences. There is no, like Eugene Peterson used to say to us at Regent College, there is no such a thing as private belief or action. Ideas have consequences. Actions have consequences. There is always a consequence. The roots produce the fruits. There is a connection. There is no way of disconnecting. And then you look at the ideas in a society like the Canadian society these days, and you think that the ideas that seem to be very progressive and liberal will build community and they'll build society, and you are blind to the consequences. You need to think deep that ideas have consequences. Paul, speaking to the Galatians, he says, a man reaps what he sows. It's a law. It's a spiritual law. It's wisdom. It's common sense. When I say ideas, I'm thinking about the worldview that every culture carries. Ideas have consequences. The roots will produce values that will produce behavior that will produce consequences. Ideas have consequences. This is one exercise that we do with the people we equip in Brazil, actually, and they have to come and find in the roots of the system what are some lies in the culture that are enslaving that community or society, and what does that do in terms of values and so on. And then they have to come up with God's truth and see what of God's truth in the soil of that community or of people's lives or a society will start to decontaminate the lies and produce life, because God's truth is powerful to transform and to bring life even to when there's death. So that's the aspect of our ministry. If you go to the next graphic, Steve, please, it's to say to people that our biblical worldview, God's truth, transforms. There is a deep connection between a biblical worldview, God's truth, and transformation. No wonder that the first miracle that Jesus did when he started his ministry, do you remember what was the first ministry of Jesus registered in the Gospel of John? It was the wedding in Cana, right? And what does he do? He transforms water into wine. That's the first miracle. Actually, after the miracle of resurrection, when the Bible was attacked, and the account of the in the narrative of the Bible was attacked they tried to disprove the first miracle that was attacked was the resurrection. But the second miracle that suffered most attacks from people writing against the Bible was that one, No wonder was that one. Of the resurrection is very clear. People would want to remove that pillar of the resurrection to make Christianity fall. But interesting that the second miracle of Jesus that they most attacked was the first miracle in Cana of Galilee, because that says to us that God's truth, God himself, can transform. God can even take what was intended for evil in our lives and communities and society, and he's the only one who can take that and transforms that into good. So there is this idea that our biblical worldview, and when I say biblical worldview, some people may not say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the Bible story, the story of God in the Bible. The story, if you never read your Bible with that in mind, start to read your Bible with that idea that there is a story here in four acts. Creation, fall, redemption, and consummation. When all things come again, when the shalom of God is operating again, and that's where we're moving. That's where history is moving right now. History is not moving for two things to be destroyed, for the planet to... That's not where history is moving. According to the Bible, there is consummation. All things will be made new. There is a new creation. I mean, the kingdom of God has dawned, and the sun is still rising, actually. We haven't seen everything, but the sun is rising, the kingdom has dawned, and there is consummation coming, and that's where history is moving. So creation, fall, redemption, and consummation, that's our biblical worldview. And that's what we're saying. Those ideas have consequences. Powerful consequence. Those ideas are powerful. Those ideas here are powerful to transform and touch my life, my family, my community, my society, my nation. God called Abraham and said, through you, I'll bless the nations. That's God's plan from the beginning. And when you go to Revelation at the end, all the nations are coming to him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so God's principles, God's truth that he put in this book here, we need to preach that aloud again. This is powerful to transform. The principles and the truth and the ideas that this book contains, they are dangerous, because they can transform. They can change. They can raise people out of apathy and unbelief and a desire to end their lives to life. So the next graph, Steve, actually I tried to put that line and move that line to the soil, because that's the idea. As God's truth moves to the soil where the lies are, there are lies the enemy has put there in the lives of individuals or in a community or in a nation. As God's truth moves to the soil, God's truth is powerful to transform. I'm not. I can tell you that. Listen, I could, and other missionaries, friends, International Missions Division of the PUC that we are part of, we wouldn't be able to do anything. But as we go and as we take the seeds, the seed is powerful. God's truth is powerful to transform. So that's the second aspect of our ministry. We start to, and it's mostly among millennials and next generation, we start to equip these people with a biblical worldview so that these ideas could help them to be agents of transformation, because they want to make a difference, not only in the church. They're good Christians in the church, honoring to their pastors and leaders. But they also want to make a difference through their vocation, the gifts that gave to them, involved in the different areas in society, in health or economics or arts or education. They want to say, God gave me this work. I spend most of my awake hours working. That's where I'm going to spend most of my life. 80,000 hours of my life will be spent in average in work. So God must have a plan for my work. God must have created me and designed me like that to be in the area that I am, to be an agent of the kingdom. So we start the school of training and mentorship and the prep course for university students, to equip young people and millennials and the younger generation to be co-agents with God, because God is the primary agent for the transformation of community, of society, of nation. So if you meet them in Brazil and you ask this team, what are you doing? What's your mission? They will say, we are building a nation. Because they believe that God's truth can come to Brazil and turn those 60,000 homicides a year into life. So that is a powerful message that does not depend on us. Our part is really to sow. And God has been equipping these young people. And when truth penetrates deep into the soil, then transformation is a natural consequence. John, in the Gospel of John, Jesus said, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So the transformation of individuals, we develop these different schools and courses, and we're involved with the Disciple Nations Alliance, and we're equipping. And now this work that starts locally, actually most of them will work in that community of Vila Feliz to bring transformation to that community, these young people. That became national also. They call themselves the Kingdomizers now, and they are all over Brazil. Nobody sees them. Nobody knows their names. But these, they believe, and they have this deep conviction that God raised them as Christian young people in this generation for the transformation of their nation, to attack the brokenness that the enemy has been caused in that nation for years, from the beginnings of the history of that nation. And they believe that God's truth is still powerful to transform. So, and that is another aspect of our mission in Brazil. It has expanded to the national level. And yes, we believe that the roots produce the fruits. And so from there, God has called us and expanded our ministry to Canada, POC St. Nelson. Can that was developed in Brazil also start to, can you help catalyze a movement in Canada? So we're coming back to Canada to add value to what the church is doing already. The church in Canada is working and doing well in terms of bringing people to Jesus. And especially among millennials and young people, that's one area of need right now in Canada, how to raise them and equip them, disciple them. They come to the church, we disciple them, and they become agents of transformation outside. And the idea of the older generation being mentors to them. The older generation, the ones who have been walking this journey for a longer time, becoming those, it's the father's generation coming together with the next generation, and that connection causing an explosion for the glory of God. So that's one idea. So there's a place for everybody in the body of Christ. So to finish, here's my, from the Bible, to connect all those things, a passage that I thought I would share with you. And I'm aware of my time. I know you may look at the watch and say, now you're going to start to preach. No, I'm just going to close now. From Matthew 13, the parable of the sower. I just want to read this parable and close with a few thoughts in the last five minutes. Matthew 13, 1-9. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered, because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on the good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. So just to close and put all that I said here together in one passage, the parable of the sower that Jesus told. I think the parable speaks, and Jesus is going to interpret this parable in the next verses. The parable already speaks what Jesus was trying to say. But there's an interesting thing that I see in that parable, and that's that next slide that I have, Steve, is the three S's of this parable. The three S's of the parable of the sower are seed, soil, sower. Seeds, as we talk, we have good seeds to sow, powerful seeds, seeds of the kingdom, seeds that come straight from the silos of the kingdom of God. And there is no shortage of seeds. God's kingdom, he has these silos with powerful seeds and good seeds available for us. Seeds from the kingdom. Signs of the kingdom that he wants to bring here on earth. To a broken world, to engage with brokenness. God's truth, God's goodness, God's beauty, everything that comes from him. Seeds. A storehouse of seeds that God has for us. Then there's the soil. And that's that graphic that I showed to you. These seeds will fall in different soils. And the soil is, the ground is tough right now in this society, right? We may think. It's tough ground. But there's only one thing that's more powerful than the lies that the enemy has added to the soil of society and nation, community, and our lives as individuals. There's only one thing that's more powerful than the lies. It's God's truth. God's truth is still powerful to penetrate the soil as we engage and create the conditions, not for death, but life. And then there's the sower. We are called to be sowers every day. As it was said already here in this pulpit this morning, not only in the missions field across the oceans, but in this nation, in this province, in this city, in this community, in this neighborhood. God has called us to be sowers. Os Guinness is an author that he says, God has his people where he wants them. The problem is that far too often they are not being his people where they are at. We are called to be agents of the kingdom wherever God has positioned us, bringing his truth, his goodness, his beauty, not only on Sunday, but from Monday to Friday also. So be a faithful sower. God controls the outcome. You don't. I don't. And always choose hope, because with those seeds, you never know when water is going to turn into wine. But you will. So the three S of transformation. For transformation to happen, seed, soil, and sower coming together. But it's interesting that Jesus closed with these words, the parable. Whoever has ears, let them hear. And do you know what I think was the point of the parable, really? In two words, response and harvest. Those two are connected and we cannot disconnect them. Response and harvest. There is going to be an abundant harvest because the seed is powerful and good. The soil, as God's truth comes, God's truth is powerful to create the conditions in the soil for life to flourish. So the seed needs to respond. The seed needs to sprout, and it will because it's a seed of the kingdom. It's good seed. The soil needs to give a proper response, needs to offer the right conditions, and it will because God's truth has this capacity of changing the soil. But really the key for me is that there needs to be a response from the sower. If the sower doesn't go out and plant the seeds in the soil, the process is compromised. So response and harvest, abundant harvest. And that's the job. That's how the kingdom of God advances. We respond, we obey, we sow seeds of the kingdom. We cultivate the soil. God causes the abundant harvest. God grows the forest from the seed. So that's the job that God has called us to do in Brazil and now in Canada also, in partnership with you. As the three S's, seed, soil, and sower come together, as we respond by faith, as we plant and equip people to plant the seeds, as we cultivate the soil and culture with God's truth, God is bringing up a forest from the seed. With God, there is always a forest in the seed. And I'll finish with this quotation by Eugene Peterson that's in the last slide there that says, "The harvest inevitable. Decisions are seed. Attitudes are seed. Acts are seed. Prayers are seed. Thoughts are seed. All of it will come to harvest." May God bless this church. May you be faithful sowers. May you see as you are faithful, as you respond. God cause an abundant harvest for his glory. And we will rejoice with him in that. Thank you for your partnership.